Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Edge of Hero podcast. I'm Kirk Konecki, the CEO and superintendent of Indian Hill, and I have today with me two amazing 11th graders, Carolyn Langworthy and CRISPR Shabri. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
So, Carolyn, I am like a super fan of you. You may not know this, but when you are on the basketball court, you are a beast. And
thank you.
I have been watching high school basketball for almost three decades now. I know that's probably hard to believe. But when you get on the court and it's game time, it looks like a switch gets flipped. And that you go from like this person I see right now who's smiling and happy to like, I'm going to beat everybody on the court to the ball at all times. How did you develop that mentality?
Oh my gosh, ever since I was so young, I've just been raised in a family where everyone is always so competitive. Like, I was surrounded with just playing games all the time. I love competing. I love playing sports, and definitely a big like part of my family and like who I am, and I love just competing and like being with the team.
So like Monopoly, like you're the same way once the game starts?
Yeah.
Okay, I would be intimidated. CRISPR, I don't know if you've seen Carolyn on the court or not, but I know that you have a healthy appetite for extracurricular activities and sports also. When you approach your activities, like what do you want to see in an athlete as a fan? Like, does that get you charged up when you're a fan and you see an athlete like Carolyn who just attacks it the way she does?
I'd probably want to see someone that's competitive and actually wants to do well and better themselves during the competition, not someone who's just fine with how they are.
And when you watch as a fan and you have this fan experience now as a teenager, things have changed in schools, right? Like, much like they have for pro sports or college sports. Like, can you describe like what makes a great fan experience for you as a student athlete when you go to an event?
I think it's more an entertaining game. Just that it's a fun environment, that it's not always super serious, that people can make mistakes and it's not just the end. But there's a little room for mistakes, and just that it's a fun experience.
One of the things I think we've noticed is a change since the end of the pandemic as people have come back to schools, that they want more of what you're saying, whether they're students or adults. But also there's kind of been this return to an increase in student spirit, so to speak. Have you guys noticed that in your class? Like, Carolyn, have you seen that at the games, or you feel that as a student athlete?
Oh yeah, 100%. I think especially because of the pandemic, a lot of people couldn't go, but now I feel like people are really excited to like come back to games. And like, you know, I never really realized, but like before the pandemic, like I kind of didn't, like I loved going to games, but like I feel like after the pandemic, like it really, like, I kind of took it for granted, and I just love going to games and feeling the environment with all my other students.
And the environment where Carolyn competes is a little bit different, right, than a track and field event or golf.
Yeah.
But how's the hype level different, I guess, at high school? Like, how do you all stay connected to know what's going on with the other teams and the other activities? Like, what do you do to try to stay connected?
A lot of my friends are in the different various teams. Like, I have a couple friends that play basketball. I have a couple friends on the swimming team in the various teams, and I'll ask them how the competitions went if I can't see or find it. Brave Speed sometimes has all the team scores.
When we talk about like track or field or golf, right, it's a little more individual in terms of the goals. But I think like Carolyn probably has an idea of how many points she wants to score in her contest or something. When we talk about a PR, like, what does that mean to you, CRISPR?
I think it's like more of a goal than anything. It's just something that I want to get, and then there's obviously going to be one that follows it. It's not just like I hit this and then I'm done with the sport or I'm done trying to improve.
So a lot of people who don't compete maybe don't have that same mentality, right, where they're kind of taking a stepping stone approach. You reach one goal, then you set another. How does that translate into your school experience on a daily basis when you're not competing in that sport but you're just tackling a life?
For school, I think it just has to do the most with studying. Just like, I like to be good at the classes I take, and I like to do well in them. So it's more than just getting just enough to do well in the class, or like just enough to barely pass by.
So there's this perception, right, that sometimes in a school that is so AP heavy and has so many different opportunities and course load, that there's that competition also among students, maybe even parents and community. How do you keep a balanced approach to that, Carolyn, when you're thinking about your academic success?
First of all, I mean, from Indian Hill, like, I feel, like, so much support, like, especially from, like, my teachers and from students. Yeah, I just feel like, I don't know, I love to, like, have a healthy balance between sports and academics, and I feel like Indian Hill does a great job providing resources so that you can do both at the same time and not really have to stress out or worry.
I mean, you do feel pressure, though, right? As a student, and you guys are 11th graders now, so you're starting to think about the transition to the next phase of your life. I'm sure there's some pressures that come with that. Mm-hmm. When you're in the classroom, though, do you think about competition the same way that you do when you're playing basketball with your peers, or do you think about, like CRISPR said, Carolyn, like setting goals for yourself for your own academic progress? How do you approach it? Because I don't think some adults remember or know. Once they graduate and leave school, they usually don't come back, right? So how do you approach it?
I think I'm definitely with CRISPR. I set my own goals. Again, I don't really feel like competitive in the classroom, but I feel it might be different for different people, but I agree. I think I do set goals myself so I can be successful in the future.
And how much, CRISPR, do you actually pay attention to how your peers are doing compared to you? I mean, people do a lot of group work. There are group and pair presentations. There's all sorts of different formats to your learning. But when you are setting these kind of progress goals for yourself, how do you compare yourself academically to your peers? Is there anything that you look at?
So I don't know if it's for everybody out, but my friends and I talk about our test scores, as we often take very similar classes. So we'll compare scores, but it's not anything like super deep, where like if I get a bad score, it's not like I'll get anything bad for it. I'll just take it as like a sign that I need to work more, or like that's something I need to review more when the finals come up in May and the AP tests.
Some of the things that you care about, right, like DECA, business, they're really things that can't be measured unless you're performing or you're doing a presentation or like a portfolio project maybe or something, going to a contest, much like you can't be measured on a basketball court unless people see you perform, right? That's really a theme in our school district, I think. Is there a teacher that stands out in your mind when you think about your experience up to now, K through 12, where you're like, that teacher really had an impact on me because they were always making me present or perform what I learned?
I would say Mr. Saeed. He, especially because I'm interested in business going into college, and he has taught me so many just like lessons about like presenting or like how to be successful in the business world, and plus he's such a great character and has such a great personality that really he makes me very successful in the class.
And are you involved in DECA also?
Yes.
Yeah, so when you think about these experiences in business or DECA, the presentation, your communication skills, how you carry yourself, right, is really important. Is there a teacher that stands out to you, CRISPR, that you think, like, they really made me do a lot of that kind of stuff?
I think the closest teacher to that would have to be Mr. Syed. That's just, I've had him, this is my second year having him now. He's my DECA chapter leader, so everything I do for DECA goes through him. And obviously you do a lot of presentations in front of the class and in front of him, so you kind of learn it by yourself. He does give a couple tips on it.
Yeah.
But it's something that you learn through experience.
You have to actually go to the competitions. You actually have to put the presentations together and perform. And I think a lot of people who don't take those kinds of courses or don't get involved in DECA, they could not understand what that opportunity can mean for your future beyond just communicating yourself. You're actually learning about a product or how to market something or how to brand it. You're picking a category to specialize in. So what is it, Carolyn, that interests you or that specifically you would present on in DECA? What do you work on?
So my event in DECA is hotel and lodging. So basically my event has a lot to do with like customer service and like customer relations. And I feel like something that I've really valuable that I've learned from there is just like how to like approach a customer and like how to be successful. And I just do like people skills, like how to improve and like making conversation. I feel like that's
what you're
really
doing right now.
Right. It's really, I feel like it's one of the most important things in the business world is, you know, like how to, you know, get along with your coworkers or like your customers.
And travel and leisure is literally the largest industry in the world. Mm-hmm. So you probably picked a good one, right, to practice. CRISPR, what are the specific activities that you're focused in on for DECA this year?
So This year I'm doing the entrepreneurship event by myself. So it's kind of focused on a lot of things, but most of the time it'll be looking at a small business or a business and making a decision for them. So like one of the state role plays last year for this event was there was two business plans that a business could go with, and you had to decide which one they should choose. And so it's just a lot of that, like weighing options and seeing which one is better and then justifying that.
So doing a lot of analysis and evaluation of an actual business and its health and maybe which one is the better strategy or more value to make a choice. Something that I think lots of people would like to see in a leader or someone who's going to run a small or large business in the future. So sounds like great hands-on experience. And I know Mr. Saeed's really proud every year of the crew that comes through there. But you're all working on very contemporary problems and trying to find solutions to those problems as you're presenting. So it's obvious you guys have been practicing the way you carry yourselves and the way that you communicate with me here, even in the studio. Let's talk about sports again for just a minute, because it's hard for me to not think of you, Carolyn, when I think of student athlete experiences here at school. By the time you're an 11th grader, you're confident enough to think that you can compete with everybody, including the seniors and maybe beyond. And then you're still kind of, you know, rising your trajectory to kind of become the leader or take on more responsibility with your team or your sport. What do you think about leadership, and how important is it for the upperclassmen to kind of cultivate a climate of leadership around your team?
Yeah, I think leadership is probably the most important thing to do with a team. Especially this year, since our team is trying to win a CHL title. I mean, that's going to be really hard, and I feel like we've been really successful this year because our upperclassmen have been really great at leadership and leading our team. It's been a lot of hard work, and I feel like with the upperclassmen and myself, like, we've been doing a great job just, like, I don't know, like, encouraging each other, and I feel like that is what makes teams successful, is that everyone, I mean, our team is so close and like our chemistry is great, and we always like hold each other accountable, and those are elements of leadership, and I feel like that's why our team is so successful, because leadership is a big part.
And you guys are challenging for that title as you go through this season. You're having a pretty good season so far, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. CRISPR, when you think about leadership culture or creating a climate of leadership in the activities that you're involved in, what's it mean to you?
I think leadership is more important for creating almost a team culture, or a good leadership can create trust in the team, and I think that's one of the most important parts. And I think if you have trust in your teammates and your leader, it'll produce better results and it'll create more want to do that activity in general.
How do you help the younger, less experienced student athlete to feel comfortable, even though they don't have the same amount of experience as you do, as they're coming along now that you've been through it? Like, do you take the time to think about that now as an 11th grader when you work with younger student athletes who are around you? Like, how do you help them?
I think it's a little difficult, especially for a sport like golf, because it's more of a like solo sport.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I guess just telling them what, as long as they play their best, that's the best they can do. And no matter what, it'll always be a score to be considered, because in our golf competitions, they take the top four scores out of six. So if one player plays bad, then it doesn't necessarily matter, as long as the other five or four played well.
So you can lift up the team as long as most of the team do well.
Yeah.
And somebody can still have an off day, but you don't want them to always have an off day, so you need to encourage them.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Carolyn, I see you not just kind of guiding, but sometimes directing underclassmen, and I also see you encouraging. What do you think about that? How do you help the next generation along now that you've kind of gone through half your high school career and you kind of have it down?
Yeah, so I like exactly remember how it feels to be an underclassman, and it's really scary, and I feel like I want to provide them someone that they can talk to, because when I was underclassman, I had lots of resources and people to talk to, and that's how I feel like I got a lot better as a player, mentally and physically, because I have people I can talk to, and I want to provide underclassmen the same thing. I really want to help them succeed.
I think that transfers over into your academics or other activities as well, right? Like ninth graders, 10th graders, until you go through something, it can be nerve-wracking when you even think about like tests like the ACT. Mm-hmm. And now you guys are heavily involved in some of these things, right? If you're moving on to the next level. How have you approached that whole transition of thinking about from high school to college or high school to career or high school to military? Like, how are you approaching some of these like high stakes moments that you have to go through, CRISPR?
I'm just trying to like develop myself to the best before I have to deal with that. So I'm just trying to improve my resume, stuff like that, to try to hopefully get into a good college.
Mm-hmm.
And I think also, I think it is a shift. What needs to happen, changing your mindset about how you view things and how you're starting to change where you're going in life, especially after this year, since basically your application will need to be finished.
A lot of people may not realize that, right? But you're getting an application, you're getting some really important essays prepared, you're kind of narrowing the field of schools or career paths you may want to try. And then, of course, these tests that you prepare for, whether it be the ACT or the SAT. Do you have to create a routine as a junior, like, now?
I think so. I think, like, just part of the routine, it's not necessarily a major change. I think it's just incorporating everything daily. It can be something small, but if you do it daily rather than just one big event, maybe once a month or once a week, it has a lot more of an effect on your, like, mental recognition of that. Like, you're more aware of it, and you're more likely to follow through and remember it.
So you're kind of using your own time management skills, creating some priorities. I would assume, Carolyn, while you're in the middle of a season, you have to do that, of course, right? Because you've got so much time taken up with the activity also. But what are you doing to work on that? Have you developed a routine? Is there something that you're trying to do to balance all those priorities?
Yeah, I definitely agree with Chris. We're just like making small but good habits. Like, for me, I always aim to like finish my homework before like I go on social media or like distract myself. Yeah, just like making like good habits that like help me like in the future. Like, it can be as little as like, oh, like, I don't know, like finishing my homework for Friday so that I don't have to do it later when I'm at a busier time. So like, again, like, if I have a game tonight, then I want to finish my homework for, you know, Friday, because with our schedule, like, most of it's due Friday. So yeah, just I definitely making small and good habits, because big habits turn into, or small habits turn into big things.
That's great. I love that. Small habits turn into big things. And I think we all need a little bit of time, right, to decompress, to unwind when we're done with something really important or really heavy. What's your go-to kind of, I know we ask students this a lot, and Mr. Phelps and I like to ask this, but like, what's your go-to? Like, if you're stuck on an island, Carolyn, you just got done winning the state championship in basketball and you could only have one thing to eat, like, what is it? Like, what's your favorite snack or food?
Gosh, I love a good apple.
Okay.
I don't know. I just...
You're the only person in the history of this podcast that's ever said apple, but congratulations, you're so healthy that I feel guilty now.
I don't know. I've been having a lot of apples recently. I don't know why I just thought of that, but yeah.
Okay, apples the go-to. CRISPR, what about you?
I think kind of just a comfort food like spaghetti.
Spaghetti, okay.
Some sort of pasta.
Yeah, is there a favorite you have here in Cincinnati that's...
No, I cook for myself, and my mom cooks too, so
okay. Mom's cooking is always good, right?
Yeah.
That's a good thing. Okay, so let's talk about what's next for you two, because obviously next year, senior year, is a really important year, but you're then going to be setting some other goals for yourself. So let's start with you, CRISPR. When you think about what's next after high school, where's your mind taking you right now? Is there something we should be paying attention to or looking forward to for you?
I'm just working on building an application, and then once I go to college, hopefully getting into the business school at that college.
Have you thought about which colleges you might be interested in?
Not specifically. I'm thinking somewhere in California or the Northeast, and then maybe a couple of the schools down south, and maybe Michigan.
So you're casting a wide net, and you're going to kind of stay open to figuring out which one you feel the most passionate about.
Yeah, I don't mind as much about the like school location as much as just the school like education as much.
You're looking at the programs.
Yeah.
That's really important, right? Because if you find a good fit programmatically, chances are you're going to have success there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. Carolyn, what are you thinking about?
So my main goal is to play basketball in college. I want to go somewhere warm, kind of near the south, like near the Carolinas. So yeah, this year is definitely my biggest year of recruiting. So
Have you gotten into that, or you talked to anybody or visited any places yet, or are you just kind of lining all that up right now?
Kind of lining all that up. I haven't had any visits yet. I've talked to a couple people, but really not a lot, but this year is supposed to be the year where I kind of figure everything out.
That's great. So, I think that's the key, right, is the 11th grade year. A lot of people feel like maybe you're not figuring things out yet, but you two have shown us today that you're already thinking about these transitions. You're already focusing in, creating some priorities, getting into some routines that are going to really help you at the next level and definitely help you next year to figure out where you're going to be and what you want to do, and maybe where you don't want to be or what you don't want to do. And that's okay too. Being involved in all the activities that you're both involved in is really impressive, and how you even manage your time blows my mind some days. So let's wrap up with this. If there's a teacher who you were going to talk about for years to come that impacted you or influenced you positively in your entire experience at Indian Hill, K through 12, teacher, coach, staff member, who would it be and why? Carolyn, what do you think?
I would have to repeat my answer, Mr. Saeed.
Okay.
He's made big impacts academically, and he's just a great person. I don't know. He's a great teacher. He supports me. And I mean, supports students and gives out a lot of help and like resources to other students, and I really appreciate that.
Love hearing that, and I'm sure he would appreciate that too. CRISPR, what do you think about here? Somebody that's impacted you?
I think I'd probably say Mr. Saeed too.
Oh my gosh, Mr. Saeed's getting a medal today after this podcast.
Yeah. I used to be pretty shy and like wasn't great at public speaking before I took my first DECA course, where I was forced to do presentations and stuff like that. So after enrolling in his course first semester of last year, it was really helpful. DECA was great for me as it helped me gain like my own voice almost.
I think you have. I think not almost. I think you have. That's great to hear. And I love hearing as a school leader, right, who has influenced and impacted you. I'm certain you've impacted Mr. Saeed also, both of you. I look forward to watching you both compete in the future. I look forward to hearing how you're doing with those accolades and DECA. And Carolyn, you know, it's on right now, right? Like it's the march to March, and I'll be watching, and you keep being a beast out there on the court. Thanks, CRISPR, so you keep doing great things. I can't wait to hear how the DECA competitions go with you this spring. Thank you for your time today.
Thank you
so much.